Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Women, when you want your husband to feel respected, when you want your husband to be given room to be able to lead, when you want to see him take that position of authority that has been given to him by God and lead within the home, then and you are helping him and you are building him up and you are allowing him to lead, then you're allowing your marriage, that couple who you are, that oneness who you are, to be blessed in that.
God knew what he was doing when he created marriage, when he outlined the characteristics and responsibilities of the husband and the wife. And even though God requires that a godly wife submit to her husband, wives, God has given you very powerful and profound influence over your husbands. With more from Ephesians chapter 5, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Now, there are three words that are given to women that are here. We have submit, we have subject, and there was one more word in here that I wanted to point out. Well, we have two words here for the women, and there's one word that is said three times. Oh, I got where it is. All right, so in 22, it's submit. In 25, it's love. And we're going to come down in the very last verse in 33, it's respect. So when you are submitting to your husband, you submit, you subject, and you respect your husband. I realize that sometimes it's impossible to respect someone in those extreme cases. And there might be times when you have to say, I'm not going to put myself in that role because financially we would be bust if there's an extreme case. But we're talking about not in the extremes. There is one word that men are told for their wives three times. That's in verse 25, love your wives. In verse 28, love their own wives. And again, a little ways down in verse 33, so love his own. So women are told these three different things, submit, subject, and respect. And men are told to love, love, and love. And the word for love here is the word agape love. Some have described it as God's love. But it's really not, because the Bible says you can agape things that you shouldn't agape. It says people can agape money. They can have that commitment and love towards money. Agape is an unconditional kind of love. I will love no matter what. When someone agape something they shouldn't agape, they are making a commitment to a thing that they shouldn't make a commitment to. It's not a matter of feelings. It's not romantic feelings. Those are great. Those should be there. They should be kindled, right? But that's not what this love is about. It's about you making a decision to love your wife. If you say, well, I just don't love my wife anymore. Well, then you're in sin. Because love is a decision. Love is a commitment. And you say, I will love you. And if you've got to go to God and say, Lord, I need to make this commitment again to you and to my wife that I will love her in everything that I have. And so it gives a little bit more direction for the husbands. And if the husbands will fulfill his part, it makes the wives' part a whole lot easier in loving their husband. Because I think women need to have that love. It's not that men don't need to be loved. But it is interesting to me that the Bible never says women agape your husbands. The Bible says women phileo your husbands. The word phileo, we get the city of Philadelphia from it, a city of brotherly love. It's translated kindness in the Bible. So if you take the stand back and look at the Word of God, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives with a deep and total commitment. Wives, be nice to your husbands. What it's saying. It isn't that you aren't supposed to agape your husbands, because the Bible says love one another. The Bible gives us direction that we are to love each other. And that love would be even so much more in our houses, right? In our homes, in our family, and those who are close to us. We're going to love a stranger and not love your husband. So the command to agape love is there, but he emphasizes, when he's emphasizing love in the marriage, he emphasizes agape to men and he emphasizes phileo to women. He says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now let's just talk about that for a moment. If you are to love your wives the way that Christ loves the church and gave himself for her, that means that this is a self-sacrificing love. And if we compare the leadership of Jesus to our leadership, Jesus never made demands on people. Jesus told people how we ought to live. Jesus allows us freedom to be able to make mistakes. His way is always the right way. Ours is not always the right way. But if we are to love the way that Jesus loves, it is full of self-sacrifice. And if you're a self-sacrificing person, and I don't just mean being willing to die for your wife. I think the vast majority of men, 1 out of 1,000 might not be willing to die for their wives. I think the vast majority of men are willing to die for their wives. But are you willing to live for them? Are you willing to make things good for them? Are you willing to bless them? Are you willing to make their life a complete and total blessing? Just as a little bit later on, it will say that children are supposed to obey their parents. I can tell you, my children are all adults now, but I can tell you that even now, I will do whatever I can do to bless them. If something will bless them, if something will help them, I will help them and bless them in any way that I can. My leadership while they were growing up was always to bless them. And that's the same now in my marriage, that my leadership towards Kathy is that she would be blessed, that she would be fulfilled, that she would be satisfied, that she would be happy, and that I would sacrifice in any way that I can to make that happen for her. In my leadership, whether it's here at the church with the staff or in my marriage, my leadership is never, you guys do what I say, because I think that's a weak leadership. I think leadership, when you are giving direction, when it is loving and kind and you want the experience of your staff to be a rich experience as you minister together, when you want a wife to feel fulfilled and satisfied, then you're willing to sacrifice for her. And isn't that the truth, guys? I think that we have that heart that we want to bless our lives. And if we use our position as leaders to bless them, then how would they not want to follow us? You've heard the statement, and I've had this on my desk before, lead, follow, or get out of the way. And I have talked about that with the staff before. I've told them, listen, I'm not afraid to follow you. If you have a vision from God and you want to get out there and do something, I'll get right in behind you and I'll follow you and you lead the way. You either lead or follow. I'll lead, get the direction from God, and I'll lead and you follow. But don't stand in the way. And that's the whole idea, that we would say, if my wife has a strength in this area and she takes the lead there and I follow her and the end result of that, if she is fantastic in design, why would you demand that the room gets designed like you want it to be designed? Bunch of clunky stuff put out of place. You put it the way I want it. You put that chair over there. You put that chair over there. There, that's the way the room should be. And she's going, wow, wow. Why wouldn't you use her strength to let her lead the way and to follow in after her? When we are not willing to follow someone who we have authority over, it shows an insecurity in our lives. And there might be a reason for an insecurity. When people get married when they're young, it's really hard because guys haven't matured completely. Guys mature later than women. I don't know if you noticed that or not. And so in the very beginning of marriage, guys could kind of make a mess of finances really early, and the wife's like, I'm taking control. You stand back. I've also seen marriages among pastors. These are spiritual people, women and men, that the woman still does the finances in it. It doesn't mean that he has to say, I'm doing the finances, I'm paying the bills, and I do it in my household because I think I'm good at it, because I stay on top of it, because I don't let anything go. It just happens to be one of those detailed areas that I take care of things. That's kind of what I did in my first marriage. It's what I do now in my current marriage. I have always done it. And she has no problem saying, and every once in a while, she'll say something. I say, you wanna pay the bills? She's like, no. You go ahead and take care of it. She has no problem letting me do it. But when I see her strength, why wouldn't I fall back and let her go? Because we are one. It goes on to say here, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. This is a reference to the word of God being given place in your home, that there could be a real strength from that, that he might wash her with the washing of the word, knowing that your leadership is a spiritual leadership. It's not, we're getting this house instead of that house, and you better just listen to what I say. It's not, we're getting the more expensive car, and you just better listen up. If you use your leadership role like that, well, that if somebody in a company uses their role in authority or leadership just to do what they want to do, it's not long before that company folds. The same thing is true in a marriage. Your marriage might not fold, but your marriage is not going to be a good marriage. If you use your position of leadership to say, I want to see our family strong and spiritual, and I want to lead in a way that she feels loved, and I want to use her strengths and understand that she has input into everything, it becomes very powerful. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. That is, Jesus is looking to present her, us, the bride, as a glorious church. And notice again the analogy of Christ and the bride. And this is as compared to the analogy of a husband and a wife. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Now, this is another one of these sections here in this classic passage on marriage that people have misunderstood, because the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's a good test for us. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And so it's really easy for us to come back to that and say that's what's going on here, that we should lead treating our wives the way we want to be treated. If we're in a position with someone and they're in authority over us, we want to be treated a certain way. So treat your wives that way. But much more is being said than that, because when you two stood in front of the Lord and made that marriage vow, God did something, and he caused you two to cleave together and you two to be one. And so if a husband mistreats his wife, he mistreats himself. If a husband doesn't think about her being presented glorious, about her being strengthened and lifted up, he's undercutting himself. If he uses the position of authority that he has to be able to show his wife how much he loves her, to be able to sacrifice for her, to be able to give up for her, to be able to present her glorified unto God, to see her grow spiritual, then your marriage becomes strong, you become strong, because you have become one with another person. This is something that we as Christian men have got to get a hold of, so that we can understand the position that we have been given. And that women, if you can let your husband lead, if you can say, I want to give you that leadership so he learns how to lead, like the first time your husband dances in a dancing lesson, it probably isn't going to be very good, but give it time and it'll start to click. And when you come in and follow, it turns into something beautiful. So the same as in a marriage. If you can give him some room to lead, if you can submit unto his leadership, if you can allow him to really grow in that position, then he can lead in a way that enriches you, and you become enriched because you're both one. If you in your marriage are constantly tearing one another down, bickering at each other, biting at one another, saying things that are just derogatory to one another, you're actually tearing yourselves apart. There's pain in that, because you're tearing yourselves apart, because you two have become one. You're taking a whole part of you and you're tearing that down. It's true whether it's the woman who's tearing down the man or the man that tears down the woman, and both do it. I'm not saying that everyone does it. I'm saying in couples, sometimes it's the woman and sometimes it's the man, but they can just be constantly tearing down the person instead of building them up. So it says then in verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. And that's the key. Now, we're never supposed to love ourselves. Bible says in the last day, men will be lovers of themselves, meaning that that's going to be a quality of the end of the world. But we love ourselves because there's been a unity and we really are one. And if we understand that, then we understand that by us doing that is really helping us out. Our home will be a place that we really want to be. Our home will be a place that's a blessing if we can really grab a hold of this as God says it's supposed to be. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. And so just as you never hate your own flesh, but you take care of it, so you nourish and you cherish your wife so that you will be blessed, so that she will be blessed, just as the Lord does the church. for we are members of his body and his flesh and his bone. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Now, this same principle, this same argument that Paul made could be used for the wife as well. Women, when you want your husband to feel respected, when you want your husband to be given room to be able to lead, when you want to see him take that position of authority that has been given to him by God and lead within the home, then, and you are helping him and you are building him up and you are allowing him to lead, then you're allowing your marriage, that couple who you are, that oneness who you are, to be blessed in that. When you fight against it, when you're fearful and afraid to by faith trust in God and let him take that way and lead, then you end up hurting your relationship in the long run. Now, I want to read this last section here, but we aren't done yet, all right? So don't close your Bibles, because whenever I get to the last verse, that we get to that, people shut their Bibles. But I've saved this part because he returns back to the woman at the end. He starts with the women and talking about them submitting. Then he talks about the man and what he's supposed to do. And by doing all of these things, he ends up really loving himself because there's this mystery of the oneness in a marriage relationship. He then says at the end of verse 33, to love their wives as themselves and let a wife see that she respects her husband. My late wife passed away in December of 2012. In 2015, I was remarried. And we wanted to do some marriage counseling. I have a friend of mine who's a retired doctor, and he's done the Love and Respect Conference for years. For our premarital counseling, we watched the Love and Respect tapes. These are the ones that were from, I think, the 90s. They were a long time ago. Two things were really funny. The references were funny, and the haircuts were funny. Other than that, everything was completely relative. And then we would have a dinner with Herb and Susie, and we would sit down and talk about the things that were in the Love and Respect Conference. Now, if you've never experienced them and watched them, you're having some trouble in your marriage, those tapes, you can get them on YouTube and you can watch them. Those tapes are very, very helpful. As I said, a lot of it is dated. I don't know if they may have come up with something new here recently, but a lot of it is dated, but it is very, very good. But the Love and Respect Conference keys off of this. Men are told to love their wives, and wives are told to respect their husbands. And what women need is to be loved by their husband, for the husband to put her first, for the husband to make a commitment to love her. And what men need is for women to respect them. And when a man doesn't feel respected, it's hard for him to love. And when a woman doesn't feel loved, it's hard for her to respect. And so it's this vicious cycle that takes place. If you ladies can say to your husband on something that you can just, you know, again, the Bible says yield to one another. We constantly want to be yielding to each other. But gals, if you can say to your husband, you know what, I trust you, you make a decision. Sometimes it's going to be really hard for you gals to do because you had a hold of everything, right? But if you can say to him in a real strategic point, it doesn't matter to me. I trust you. You make a decision. It will mean a lot to him. And one thing you may discover is you can trust him. Now, this might backfire on me. You might discover you can't trust him. But I think you'll discover that you can. That when a husband has that role surrendered to him, and when a wife really does respect him and say, I do respect you. Now, inevitably, when we start to talk to women about this, they'll come back and say, well, my husband isn't deserving of respect. And unfortunately, and you guys know this as well as I do, a lot of times that's true. But if it's not a marriage-breaking activity that's taking place, then you have to work on this marriage. You have to make it good. And one of the ways that you make it good, women, is to respect your husband. And there's something about that. There's just something when Kathy shows me that she really does respect me. The decisions that I'm making. And there's really something when I show her that I love her and that I'm making decisions that are good for her, that she knows that I love her. She'll often say to me, thank you for loving me. She knows that I love her, and she'll say, thank you for loving me. And I often say, thanks for respecting me. No, I never say that. But that really is something that as men, we feel secure and strong when there is a respect. And if I can, talk to the guys here, and it would be great to talk to the guys here without the girls around. But I would say to the guys, hey, earn that respect. If women are going to say at some point, okay, I'm going to respect my husband. I'm really going to respect him. I know he's acted like a child sometimes. I know he's made bad financial decisions sometimes. I know he's done some things that I don't agree with sometimes, but I'm going to respect him and I'm going to give him some room to make mistakes or do some good things. And when you do that, I think there's a real strength that comes to the men and guys. If when your wives do that, you can take the authority and the leadership that you have to make their world better. Because do you think that God gave you that leadership so you can make your life better? Or do you think that God has given you the leadership over the woman who is a weaker vessel, simply meaning she's weaker physically, who is the weaker vessel? Do you think that he's given you that position that you might lift her up, that you might strengthen her, that you might make her feel more secure, that you would see her glorious, that you would see her glow and bask in the light of the love that she would develop if you would really say, I'm going to use the authority and the leadership that I have to make this marriage good. I'm going to use it to bless her. I'm going to use it to bless my children. Again, the same thing is true with our kids. Even though our kids submit to us, we want to use that position of authority and leadership to find our ways to bless our children the absolute best way we possibly can. This is, I said in the very beginning of the study, this is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. And I realize that there are some in our day and age. I'm going to trust it's not you guys. I'm pretty good at reading people. I'm not noticing anybody really upset right now. Oftentimes in my teaching, you may be surprised that I do see that. I can't see all you guys up here, so maybe I better check that out a little bit more to see. But this is the way God designed it, and God designed marriage, and God designed therefore there to be one who would lead and one who would take that leadership to turn around and bless the marriage and make the marriage strong by the leading. And in order for that to happen, there would be one who would submit and surrender to that leadership, giving them the room to be able to build the marriage and make it into something that is strong. And I'll follow my analogy through all the way. And suddenly, you guys are doing the waltz. Suddenly, you guys are ballroom dancing. And you thought your klutzy husband would never get around to it. You thought he'd never really be able to lead. And maybe he thought you'd never really be able to follow. Then when he gave you the subtle directions of which way to go, that you would never fall into place. But suddenly, you've done it. And your marriage becomes something that is very beautiful and very profound, and is able to minister to people all around you, and even to minister unto your children when you do marriage God's way. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the direction that we receive from your word. Lord, we don't want to defend you against the culture that we have today. And we do not believe that by women submitting to their husbands and husbands loving their wives and dying for them, that in any way, shape, or form is it reducing the role of a woman and or elevating the role of a man, or that this is something patriarchal, some kind of patriarchal society or culture. But we believe this is the way you created marriage, and we're doing it your way. And when we do it your way, it blesses us. And I pray for the men and women that are hearing this, whether online or here now or listening to a tape later on, that they would be blessed in their marriages by what your word says. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Tucson. It is our prayer that our Bible teachings would help you to understand and apply God's powerful word to your life every day. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 8-5706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East or Southwest Tucson. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study and drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.